Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Simon Barrett, and welcome to the program. As always, I'm joined by my excellent panel, and this week we are completely up to speed from the city of Los Angeles. We have the 21st century's version of Perry Mason, Legal Eagle Peter Haven. Peter, good to have you back on the program.
Oh, well, thank you very much. That's a great introduction. Much appreciated. Good to be back. Thank you.
And also from the City of Angels, author and psychologist, Dr. Gary Penn. Gary, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you all who are listening. Thank you, men. Fun to be back. Looking forward to today's show.
Oh, I'm sure there'll be an argument or two.
I would hope.
And from the ever-shrinking city of Youngstown, Ohio, author, activist, and teacher, Sam Moffey. And Sam, good to talk to you again.
Great to be here on this anniversary of Kent State shootings.
Oh, boy.
Trust you to start on a high note. Also joining us from the Garden State, my good friend Bill Conrad. Bill, great to talk to you again.
Oh, it's great to be back. I really missed us being able to be there last week, and you know, I ducked out for Easter. So I'm happy, and let's attack everything that's out there and make it right. I'm ready.
Okay, but before we get onto the serious stuff, well, no, this is serious. I have a pork roll story.
Oh, good. My favorite.
Pork roll is a delicacy only found in New Jersey. And as my for my Easter present, Bill sent me some. And it's delicious. Tastes just like Canadian bacon. So the company, I believe, is called Case. Am I correct on that one, Bill?
That is correct.
Okay. I was so enamored, I wrote a review about pork roll and copied them on the, copied them in email. They were delighted with my review. But get this, they declined the offer of an interview. Apparently, pork roll is so secret, they just don't do interviews. So, anyway, that's my silly story for the week. Let's get on to less important things. In fact, let's kick off with the NBA. Let's make it plain right off the bat. I think Donald Sterling is an idiot. But does the punishment match the crime? Peter, you're a big sports fan. I'd love to get your initial take on the Clippers and Sterling.
Well, my initial take is I've seen this kind of thing before. I've seen someone who has a history of rubbing people the wrong way, of making negative comments, of making derogatory statements. And it adds up over years and years of behavior. And people, you can basically make a lot of enemies. And people lie in wait for a moment when you step into it, so to speak, or they lie in wait for a chance to pounce, and that's what it seems to me happened here. Many people, for whatever reason, I really don't know much about Sterling. I've never heard anything good about him. I've always heard negative comments about him, but I've never known him personally. But it's very clear to me that when something like this happens and everyone attacks you immediately afterwards, they've been waiting to jump on you for years, and they view this as the chance to finally do it. And to me, this is a classic example of when your past finally catches up with you. In short answer to your question, Simon, no, I don't believe that the punishment fits the crime if all you're focusing on are these words at this moment, at this time, in the manner in which they're uttered. The punishment seems wildly out of whack with the so-called crime. But when people react like this, they're clearly basing it upon a lot of prior things. And this is just the excuse. This is just the opportunity to pounce. And that's what's going on. It's a lynch mob mentality, and they've been out to get him, in my opinion, for years, and they view this as the opportunity to do it. And everybody seems to be piling on.
Gary, same question to you. I'm not sure if you're much of a sports fan, but this is kind of in your neck of the woods geographically. You know,
yep.
What are your thoughts on Mr. Sterling and the punishment?
Well, I think it's really, in a lot of ways, you could always make the case of a moral justification, but really it is, it's a really economic decision, and it was just, it's kind of one of those things that it just played out the way it had to play out. I just couldn't imagine it being any other way, with sponsors canceling and players saying they don't want to play there. I think if the NBA did nothing, it would be a white man's club saying this is okay. So, again, that just would kill the ratings and really harm it in a big way. So I think Peter's absolutely right about, from a personal basis, of Donald Sterling. I think, there's an old saying, you can't cram for farming. And if Donald Sterling, years ago, built apartment complexes in South Central Los Angeles, which is predominantly black, or in East Los Angeles, which is prominently Latino, and said, I'm going to build these homes, big projects for low-income families, and give them really a nice place to live at an affordable price. And he would meet the families and greet them and, have a change of heart, the way that Ebenezer Scrooge changed his heart. People might be softer with him, but he didn't do any of that. He paid off like he wanted to pay this girl off, and it's kind of like karma. It's really a shame. At 80 years old, this is the man that he is.
Huh. And Sam, you're a sports fan.
Well, I want to take this opportunity to say that I partnered up with Bill Gates, and we're going to put a bid in for the Clippers, too.
let me guess, Sam, you guys are going to go 50-50 on that one?
No, Bill decided he would go 101, and I would have to just apply to be the new face of the Clippers.
You're the face of ownership.
I'm living in the face of ownership. He wants to be in the background.
I like it.
Sent me an email. I answered it, and he said, "Let's go for it, Sam." I said, "Let's go, Bill. You got something to do. You got the book, Anyway, it is amazing how everyone who's stepping up to play to buy a team that's not for sale right now. But I agree with both what Gary and Peter have said. They probably read about this guy. They know about him. I've other people I know and family I have out in California have told me he's been. This is nothing new to people who know him or follow him. And he is this extremely wealthy man and made it in the real estate business. And you make it in the real estate business using not a pussycat when you go around making billions of dollars that way. But I think what's really funny is that, you know, his it's political correctness run amok. But it's not. You know, the First Amendment protects us, you know, to the right to free speech, and it was private speech that, you know, he was taped, and in today's social network, you know, where everyone has an opinion, and it's okay. I mean, we all see the blogs, our hate blog, this blog, lovely blog, cooking. Everyone has an opinion. Everyone's an expert all of a sudden. Yet, if the big shot celebrity, or says something, or not that they think is private, now they're not allowed to have an opinion. And that, to me, is the big story that I see, is that here's this guy, you know, because I got your moment, and he said his stuff, and I guess the stuff was, he said this months ago. It wasn't like he said this last week. He said this months ago, and to his girlfriend, who now doesn't think he's a racist, because she probably got another check. And then what's been killing me is the stuff that's come out is how Sterling has been using his money to buy Lifetime Achievement Awards at the NAACP. He gives hundreds of tickets away to inner-city youth, mostly African-Americans, to attend his games. He did have problems with Elgin Baylor, one of the great NBA African-American superstars of yesteryear. He used to work for him. He fired him. He worked for him for a long time. And then he fired him over, I guess, you know, whatever, because the Clippers used to stink. Right, Peter and Gary, it wasn't until the last couple of years they've become somewhat relevant on the NBA scene. I guess they won their playoff the other night. And so they're succeeding. He can't do anything, but it is the NBA is a private club. They have rules, just like in baseball, what's his face? Pete Rose, one of the greatest players of all time, was banned for life for gambling. He can't sue to get back in or do any of that stuff. He's gone. They have special rules. The NBA, that little club, has special rules that says, hey, you know, they can do what they want to do. And that includes punishing someone excessively, in my opinion, the way they have. I thought the fine was very appropriate. He can afford it. And maybe should have donated it to, you know, a real cause instead of the NBA's pockets. And gone on. But to try to strip him of his ownership, to me, is outrageous, because I think, Simon, you alluded to this, Mark Cuban, who he himself has had a, another wealthy young guy who's got very outspoken, has said this will be a slippery slope if they vote him out, because the next thing could be all NBA owners have to wear yellow ties. And if they don't wear yellow ties, you'd be kicked out of the ownership group.
I want to come back to that one.
I'd wear a yellow tie to be an NBA owner.
Okay, Bill, your opening salvo on the story.
Well, you know, there's a couple of things. I mean, we were talking about Oprah Winfrey. It was interested in this. I think that's really exciting that she can step in, because she doesn't really seem to have a lot of she doesn't own a whole lot. You know, she needs to make her mark in another network like, NBA. In fact, NBA has been so hurting that they began selling T-shirts called We Are One. Just to try to raise a little bit of money to keep them afloat. So you can buy We Are One T-shirts, which are in response to the LA Clippers and the whole this whole controversy, just to try to keep the NBA above water from all the scandal that it might exist. But I heard that if Oprah Winfrey does get it, they're going to change it to We Are Own, you know, as part of the Oprah Winfrey Network, which is her television show and her network and everything else. So they would be ready to change the print on this if she did buy the team. So I think that's a good thing.
Okay.
I'm sorry to Sam that Bill Gates isn't going to get it. Oprah's going to win. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
Probably, but you know who's going to win? Is Donald Sterling. He only paid like $20 million for the team. It's worth $500 million. It's probably
nobody needs to feel sorry for Sterling. He's going to make out like a bandit if they force him to sell the team, just like that guy McCourt, who ran the Dodgers, made a fortune being forced out.
And he did a terrible job running it.
He was awful. He was awful, but he made a fortune going out the door.
I read that him and his wife just milked that. They must ruin the Dodgers.
They did.
Milked it.
And they each got collectively, they got about $1 billion to get rid of the Dodgers. So that's about the kind of payday that that Sterling's looking at.
Yeah, and so so if Peter, and being the attorney, do you think he will sue them for the your ban from being and banned from selling? Will he put up a
I think he will.
You think he'll sue?
Yeah, I think he'll sue. I think people sue for sneezes in this town. I think he'll sue, but that's just a bargaining leverage, and I think that ultimately, just like McCourt sued, I think ultimately they'll drive him out, and it's just a way of negotiating. I think he'll bring a lawsuit, but that's just a business negotiation tactic, and at the end of the day, I think the NBA is a private club, and if they say you can't be a member, then you have to not be a member, and of course you're going to have to sell your interest. And he'll file a lawsuit, and it may take about a year or so, but they'll work it out, and he'll be gone, I think. And, it'll be just like with the Dodgers. The Dodgers had many suitors. A group, when the Dodgers were sold, a group led by Mark Cuban was in the running. There were other groups that were in the running, and it ultimately went to a group that Magic Johnson was the face of, although he wasn't the big decision maker behind it. And I think the same thing is going to happen to the Clippers. I would like to see the Lakers buy the Clippers.
Peter, I'm a bit confused for a minute. What's puzzling to me is, let's say for a moment that Sterling is able to drag this on for 2 years. Let's just say for a minute. I just can't imagine any company sponsoring him. Now, unless he just wants to bleed money from this, and he doesn't mind losing, you know, tens and fifties of millions of dollars, it seems to me like he just has to sell, and he's got to figure out a way to sell it that he doesn't lose 30% or 40% through capital gains. But I think that he has to make the business decision that I have to sell this team because he's not going to be able to get a lot of – I mean, look, I don't think players will stay away if he pays them enough money, but I think some will, but I just don't think that advertisers are going to – if you go to a game, it's all about sponsorship. It's all about corporate luxury boxes. It's all about, you know, people paying big money for these things. I just can't imagine any company from a strictly business decision supporting this team when he's the owner.
Well, it's very interesting because there is a tremendous divide right now in the city of Los Angeles. I live right across the street from Staples Center, and I was here last night, and all the fans were running around. I don't think the Clippers as an organization have ever been more loved, more popular, the LA community has never been more enthusiastic about the Clippers as an organization than now. I think everyone has united in a kind of universal contempt for Donald Sterling, and it has had a strange effect of making the Clippers extremely attractive.
Yeah,
and
but with the idea that he's going to be out. But if he's going to stay, that's my point. If he's
going to stay, what I think will happen is
Affleck going to support them? Is Prudential Insurance going to say we want the we want to support the Clippers?
I think if the Clippers are perceived to be fighting along with everybody else to get rid of him, then as long as it takes, people will support the Clippers. And I think the team is going to be run by some sort of interim CEO. He's been suspended. He'll fade into the background. And it'll be a team that is somewhat in a receivership position for the time period that it takes to go through all the legal battles. But he will fade more and more into the background, in my opinion, and eventually he'll just be a shadow. The team, they'll announce shortly, if they haven't done it already, that the team is going to be run by some sort of executive officer or something like this. And you know, the NBA has experience with basically stepping in and running a whole franchise. They ran the New Orleans Hornets. And, in fact, that's why Chris Paul ended up with the Clippers, because they traded
him. You guys ever heard of Ted Stepien?
No.
He owned the Cavaliers, whenever we call them the Crappaliers, okay? He sold everybody that was counted. The NBA came in, forced him to sell. He was so desperate for money. He was his best players. He was just selling them for money. So they had some good ball players, and they were all thrown out, you know, for money. And he would get drafted. He got drafted. And the NBA came in. They have a thing called the Stepien rule. I forget what it's for, but it's something about you can't sell players for X amount of dollars or whatnot during the year. But they you're right, Peter. It's an excellent observation. They have a framework already in place that David Stern didn't stay head of the NBA for 30 years for not knowing what the hell he was doing and setting up stuff. So I think you're right. They do have that in place. And the best thing they have going for themselves, along with Sterling giving them a black eye, pun intended, is
Doc Rivers.
They're winning.
Yeah, well, they're winning. But the face of the franchise is going to be, right, for a while, it's going to be their head coach.
Yeah, and a great head coach, Doc Rivers. They got some great
but
ball
he's going to, you know, as the leadership turns into a little bit of a disarray, he'll become the unofficial spokesperson of the Clippers.
Yeah.
Could
Donald Sterling sneak in, like, wearing blackface or something? You know, no one would ever know it was him. Or maybe Groucho Marx.
Who did that? Somebody did that once. Was it Billy Martin who did that?
Yeah,
Billy Martin was banned from a baseball game and snuck in with Groucho glasses and sat in the dugout. And a little Groucho mustache. Yeah, Sterling could do that. And you know, I mean, what are they going to do? Find him another $2.5 million? There's no way to hurt this guy right now. I don't think he cares about the money. He's 80 years old. He may not live much longer. He's already got more money than he's
going
to need for the rest of his life. So unfortunately, it's not about the money anymore, and that's what's sad because it's about something else, and that's just probably madness.
Isn't he going through a divorce too?
He should be. Isn't this because of his mistress?
Yeah, she's his mistress, and now he's got his guy.
No, she's a valid employee.
Oh, right. A trusted, loyal confidant. Isn't that what she is? Trusted, loyal confidant.
Yeah, and you know, the Bentley and the couple of Ferraris. They were birthday gifts.
How much did she sell the tape to TMZ for? That's what I'd like to find out. She didn't just out of control and give that.
Allegedly, she did not sell it. Her friend took it from her and sold it. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Okay. Hey, yeah. Now, this brings up a great legal aspect. I got my ear bashed this morning by our good friend Manny Barling on this subject. California laws are pretty clear about, you know, the rules of taping people.
That's right.
I'm not saying that Donald could sue for much. I mean, he might get his Bentley back.
Let me tell you what the law is. The law is that if you tape record anyone in California and they do not know that you are tape recording them, that is a misdemeanor, and it can be punished by, you know, some form of criminal punishment, probably up to a year in prison or a $10,000 fine, something like that. And I say up to because typically you don't get those kind of sentences, but it's a misdemeanor and you can be criminally punished. And also, the tape itself is inadmissible as evidence of any kind because it was obtained illegally. Now, the only way that law kicks in is if the person or the requisite showing that must be made is that the person was recorded without their knowledge. And here's where the story gets really fascinating. It is my understanding, and this is unconfirmed, but I was told that one of her jobs was to be some sort of archivist or to go around recording him. Because he supposedly was having memory problems and he wanted his conversations recorded so that he could remember them. Now, I think he still had an expectation of privacy this was like a dictaphone. She was a giant walking dictaphone to record him. Now, I don't know if
dictaphone, all right.
I don't know if that's true. I don't know. Yeah, pun intended. I chose the word for a reason. Now, I don't know if that's true. But if it is true, then he absolutely knew he was being recorded and that those laws have no application. And I don't know if that's true. And again, it's an interesting thing because even if he didn't know he was being recorded, it's unclear to me what remedies are going to be pursued. The sponsors still know about it, and the news is out. The horse is out of the stable. I don't know if there's any way to put any of it back in, regardless of what his legal rights may be.
Right. And, you know, I've heard the same dictaphone story. But isn't there still an expectation of privacy?
Yes, there is an expectation of privacy. And if Donald Sterling wants to sue somebody for violating his privacy, go ahead. You know, who's he going to sue? He's going to sue little V, this dictaphone girl. Is he going to sue her friend? I don't know. What's he going to get? What's he going to get? Where's that lawsuit going to go? Where's it going to be decided? Who's going to be in the jury box when it goes to the jury? Maybe he will file a lawsuit. God bless him if he wants to pay a bunch of lawyers to go file lawsuits against these girls. To me, that's just a waste of energy, in my opinion.
Well, Peter, but can't they discount some of the evidence?
Anybody can discount any evidence they want. Sure, you can discount the evidence. What is it that we have doubts about? I mean, do we have any doubts that this guy said this stuff? No. Do I think that his primary motivation was some sort of racist attitude towards blacks? He obviously has that attitude, but I don't think that's where his comments were coming from. You know, this was his, I view her as a mistress. I'm sorry if I misunderstand that, but she's just a mistress. And he wanted a mistress to behave a certain way, and, what do you want me to say? This all blew up in his face. There are far worse things. I've seen people say and do far worse things, and they, they have to live with the consequences.
Hey, Gary, I want to ask you a question. Actually, I'll just let you rant for a little while, then I'll ask my question.
Well, you know, it's interesting. A few weeks ago, we were talking about how outraged we were with privacy and people spying on us, whether it's the government spying on us, and how we hate that so much. And we find out that it's much more ubiquitous from, you know, the internet and all these apps that we use that follow us and let us know where we're located and how to advertise with us. And here we see it on a very personal level. As far as whether it's legal, I'll leave that up to Peter. But it's really kind of an interesting place right now where you have to just think, let's just leave the government to the side for a moment, that somebody's watching us at all times. Someone could put something on your cell phone so your wife or husband or what have you knows where you are. And there's so many recording and security devices. It's kind of a weird world. We all tell jokes and we all say lewd things and crude things. We all talk about women in misogynist ways. And, you know, small M misogynist, small R racist. And I think that all goes both ways. There may be black people who are racist towards other races. So it's not just kind of the white guilt that we're so aware of in our country. But it's kind of a weird, scary place that you just don't know what's what these days.
I agree. Okay. And I'm just grateful that we have these little private chats amongst ourselves where we know that nobody's listening. When we are free to say what we really think, and we don't have to worry about the world listening in.
Gary, in your professional career, and obviously I'm not asking you to name names or anything like that.
I do. Name names. It'll be fun.
Right.
Peter Haven's my best friend. Go ahead.
Is racism an area that you come across from time to time?
You know, it is, but in an odd kind of way. It's if you see these things, it's and you just drill down a little bit. You know, it's not that that people are necessarily monsters. I think someone like Sterling, it's a different kind of situation. But when I see it in my practice, I saw a man one time who was really virulently against gays and Mexicans, and he was a Mexican who was gay. You know, and it was, you know, so it was this all about his self-hatred or things like that. I really, listen, I have a practice of high-functioning neurotics in Brentwood, California, which I just don't see that much of it. Although, you know, you do see people who would never vote for Obama. And, again, it's like all racists don't see themselves as racist, but that's a racist position. And it's an old, you know, kind of tattooed on their psychology. But most of the time when people have anger in their heart, it's just because they weren't really loved. To be very, very basic, they just weren't really loved. And they don't understand the law of abundance. And they're just kind of limited and not evolved people.
Hmm. Then, Sam, you started to say something, and I cut you off, and I apologize, but I want to go back to it. Mark Cuban and the slippery slope. Yeah, I've been thinking about what he said, and it's really quite curious. You know, if Sterling gets tossed out, how about the DeVos family, owners of the Orlando Magic, and their anti-gay comments? You know, if Sterling gets booted, is this setting a nasty precedent?
I think it's a private club, so he probably will get booted in because it's politically correctness run amok, and they're all. And I think they're right about what Gary brought up about the worried about the money thing. Although, as Peter said, Sterling isn't. They are. They not being the new Clippers, but the sponsorships, the TV things, the boycott. I mean, Al Sharpton, MSNBC. Although they'll just be in hog heaven if Sterling holds out and doesn't sell, or the NBA doesn't. There might even be a player strike. And right when the league's doing very, very well financially, they don't need this. But I heard that one of the reasons that the NBA Silver came so hard down on Sterling that the Players Association said they were going to walk. And they had a bunch of players, and they're in playoffs now. They're going for the World Championship or the NBA Championship. They can't afford it. They can't afford all the bad press with the advertising money. There's probably some language in their TV contracts that would screw them, too, on the money they've got. So that's why I think you had to come down hard on them. And I think there'll be a coalition that will force them out of there. But I do think that's what Cuban's worried about. Could a new coalition of owners come in, start working behind the scenes, and not like some other get jealous of another owner or whatever and eventually force them out for whatever reason. I think that's what he's worried about, you know, for whatever reason. I think he's thinking, at least I give Cuban the credit for not being short-sighted, but thinking that in the long run. And I think that's what he's worried about. And I think, you know, Cuban is one of those type of guys who's, you know, very, a lot of people don't know, he's produced a lot of movies in Hollywood, a lot of good movies. And he does a lot of other outside things other than just own the Dallas
Mavericks.
There's
no
Mavericks.
Such thing as a good movie in Hollywood, Sam, just so you know.
Goodbye and good luck. The one with about Edward R. Murrow being taken down.
Never heard of it.
You never heard of it. It was a great movie. Clooney,
never heard of it.
Clooney directed it. Clooney wrote it.
Well, there's the kiss of death right there.
That was a good movie. I just saw a great movie. You know what it's called? The book is based on the movie. Great movie, great book. I recommend it to everybody. But what I want to say, as a teacher who's been in the inner cities, this is what I want to open up this can of worms, everybody, the double standard can of worms. I hear young African Americans use the N-word in an affectionate term to one another. Okay, he is my, you know, oh, that's my, and it's said to each other. You can tell they're not using an anger, hatred, or any of that nature. It is an affectionate word amongst these African Americans that I've seen. I've seen it in other sporting events. We've seen it in television. We've heard about it. We've read about it. So the double standard is, and hey, there's always a double standard out there, is the killer, and that's what I think the big issue to me is. And Gary, you bring up a great point. We don't like the government spying on us, but now the social network is spying on us. So it's going to have a chilling effect on private conversation, and I don't like that because I believe in freedom of speech. And, you know, he has the right to be an idiot. You know, he didn't yell fire in a crowded theater. He was talking to his girlfriend. Oh, by the way, guys, you want to get really – Peter, I've heard that same rumor that she was his dictaphone, and Simon, you call her a mistress. Do you know what else she took videotapes of that is supposed to be coming out? Sex tapes.
Oh, I knew she was a mistress.
The sex tapes will be coming out with him and her.
Now, I'll bet
he had
an expectation of privacy in those.
Yeah, but that's what people want. You know, we live in this "I got you" moment, you know, and that, whether it's Facebook, it doesn't have to be celebrities, it's everybody. You know, and that's one of the things that's going to have to work its way through how
just,
society
it's not
changes.
Just celebrities like us, Sam. It's everybody.
Celebrities like it is everywhere. It is everywhere. And
Sam, I have to tell you a little story. It was a couple of years ago that there was a family of color living next door, and they had a couple of young children. One of them was really quite tiny, probably about 4 or 5 years old, and kid wanders into the middle of the road. Luckily it's a, you know, quiet street, and father says, "Come here, you little N-word. And I thought about it, and, you know, clearly I would have ended up in a hospital if I'd said, "Hey, Dad, your little N-word is in the middle of the road." You know, where do we draw the line here?
Well,
when is it acceptable and not acceptable?
It's not acceptable, but let's take it one step further. If what Sterling did is racist, then Dan Snyder should be kicked out of owning the NFL and all the other previous owners.
Ooh, that's a good point.
Isn't the Washington Redskins the most offensive name that you could think about in pro sports? In Cleveland, our Indians used to have the most racist mascot of a buck-toothed Indian right out of bad cartoons in the 30s and 40s. That's been done away with. And now those hats are collector's items. The Indians themselves, you know, is a pretty racist term, but the Redskins is the most of them all. And I think if you're going to do this, then we need to do it. That's what I say, with this double standard, triple standard. Let's get rid of it. All for once in sports, and, you know, and not have it. And Simon, I do agree with you that you can't say that. You know, we can't. You know, look at all, but they can, and that's the double standard. And I will say, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar wrote a great piece in Sports Illustrated about why Sterling's being held to it. Sterling's a schmuck, yes, but the bigger thing at stake here is, you know, freedom of speech, private conversation. Where's this going to go? When is it going to stop? And it was great. but it wasn't a knee-jerk reaction. And I think the NBA made a knee-jerk reaction because they are worried about, as Gary brought up as it was earlier, money, money, and more money. And for them, Donald, like you said, Peter, Donna Sterling, what the heck does he care? You know, now he's holding hands with her in interviews again, and everything's hunky-dory with them. I guess he's dying of cancer. Manny said that he had a son who committed suicide, and one of his, and he's had a lot of troubled life with the Sterling family. It's not that money hasn't bought them all happiness, you know.
I feel really sad for them.
I don't know, you know, and you know his wife's suing him for $1 billion, you know, whatever that stuff, and he's dying of cancer and all this, and here's his mistress, to, you know, sticking it to him as he has stuck it to her, and what happens is
he wants his dick to find back.
No, well, you know what the biggest issue to me is? Isn't it crazy that this is the number one issue in America over the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, well, it'll end soon.
I mean, let's be right. I mean, Russia, I mean, you talk about, it was so big, I even saw CNN not even talk about the plane for a couple of minutes. And they talked about the
Well, listen, it's things don't happen in a vacuum. And when you look, I'm thinking that race has gotten so much better. But when I've watched what's been going on in politics, and when you see that it kind of like the cockroaches come out when the lights are off, and that when Obama has been in office now for 6 years, and I know there was a lot of negativity towards Clinton by the Republicans, but you just see a different thing from these boys in the South, and not even in the South only, but these... It's basically the Republican Party, but the intensity of their hatred is for some, certainly not for all, but for some it is racially based. And so when you see this come out, there was a racial undertone to is he a real citizen? Is he a Kenyan? Is he all these things? It's a lot of it is very subtle. And I guess when you are, if you're a black person, a person of color, and this has been part of the DNA as an American black, it's just different. It's not the same as Daniel Snyder. I'm not defending Daniel Snyder. It's just things aren't all morally equivalent or equivalent in the public square. So it just seems that a lot of these people are very sensitive to that, and especially in the context of the Republicans and Obama. I think overall it's just kind of in the milieu of our country these days. Maybe I'm reaching.
True.
I don't know.
No, very true. I think that's very true. We live in a changing world.
What about
people are scared?
Do you think that the Democrats who are running from him during this midterm election are racist, or is that just political savior on half?
I think that it's Sam, I think you know the answer, and I think that my point is valid on its merits. That to think why a Democrat who might be in a tough district wants to make the political calculation that they may not want to shake hands with him at this moment, although my guess is that's going to change a lot, is if you want to make the same calculation as the point that I just made, it doesn't make any sense to me. It just doesn't make any sense.
You asked me
in context of what I said.
Yeah, do you think
the Republicans, have a racist, there is an undertone of racism to part of the Republican Party.
Yeah, isn't that
which
sad?
I don't,
the party that freed the slaves? And the party that was pro-slavery.
I have no idea what that has to do with 2014.
No, I'm saying how things have changed. That's all. The Republican Party was founded to free slavery. Fought. The Democratic Party was the most racist party of its day. Back
well,
in
fine,
the
19th but
century.
Okay.
Well,
what does that have to do? What does that have to do with 2013, 2014?
Because I think it's very important. You have to understand history. And it's very interesting how it got to where we are on both sides.
Sam, fair enough, but right now the Republicans, I just think, and in the context of what we're talking about, I think that's part of what's going on.
Okay,
right now.
So would you say, taking that one step further, the criticism of Benghazi is racist, or or not. If they're criticizing Benghazi, what some people might think is overkill, even though in light of the new things that just came out,
yes.
Do you think, is that it? Okay, no, yep. Those are new documents that have come out after
yes.
2 years. Do you think that's a racist motivation, or are they trying to get to the truth? Because it is the Republicans driving the train.
I would say that I think that the Republicans are just completely hateful and crazy people, and they need to be out of power. And I think the Republican Party has lost its way. They're angry. They're violent. They reject science. And they just need to find a new leader, because Republicans have lost their way. I think Benghazi is just is a straw man. I think they're just looking for something to place around Hillary's neck, and it's all a political calculation. I think that's very much a political calculation, and I think they're hurting the country as a power grab. And I think if you're asking the question, Sam, I'm answering it to you. I think the Republican Party today is a very dangerous party. They want to go to war. They don't care about climate change. They're a danger to the planet, and they're a danger to our country. They've ruined our economy. They want to sit there and give more and more tax breaks. The income inequality doesn't bother them a bit. They don't want to sit there and, you know, do things like minute. They're just a very dangerous party. They're very, very dangerous for our country.
Dangerous, but I.
You think they're equally dangerous?
Are they both
really
dangerous? Yeah, they're both owned
really?
By. They're both owned by the money sides of both of them.
I just don't think they're equally dangerous. I don't think they're equally dangerous.
You don't think they're equally dangerous?
No.
I think both parties are owned by. Bought and sold by corporations, and they both have the base that they play to, and it's not the average American.
We disagree. I'm not saying the Democrats don't have a whole host of problems. I don't see them equal by any stretch of the imagination.
That's fine. I just think they're both dangerous. That's all.
Okay.
I do agree with you. We need a third. There needs to be a third way. It will never happen, because both the other two ways will never allow it to happen, because they're not going to upset the status quo. That being said, who's the best coming up? I don't know. Is Obama things against Obama racist? Sure, there's a bunch of people out there who are racist, who won't give him the time of day because they see a black man, they don't see a man who's
Sam, if someone is a racist, do you think they're going to be a Republican or a Democrat, if you want to put money on it?
The what?
If someone's a racist, and I was to give you $1,000 if you were right, would you think that racist is a Democrat or a Republican?
I think racism goes across. I live in an area, Gary.
That's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you overall.
Because a racist is a racist. It doesn't mean political party. You're racist before your political party. Political affiliation.
I think it's a fair question I asked you.
I'm telling you, I know racists who are Democrats who ran for office.
That's not what I asked you. That's not what I asked you.
Because I think a racist is a racist.
If someone doesn't believe in climate change, would you want to bet that person? Would you want to believe that person is more a Republican or a Democrat? If you think someone doesn't believe in
Sam, they're going to be a Republican.
If someone doesn't believe in evolution, do you think that person's going to be a Democrat or a Republican?
Republican.
If someone's in for having assault weapons and carry permits anywhere you want to go, do you think that person's going to be a Democrat or Republican?
Republican.
If someone wants to invade Ukraine and someone wants
Democrat.
To invade Crimea,
Democrat.
Do you think they want to be a Democrat or Republican?
Oh, Democrat. John Kerry's all for it.
All right. I'm just thinking that all the things I'm saying
about Ukraine. The majority of people I talk to are independents. They're not Democrats, and they're not Republicans. And guess what? All the things you just said, they may agree with three out of those four. No one is one-sided. Someone who believes in climate change, crazy enough, may also believe that the right to carry on. So I don't think you can paint.
That's not my point. I was saying overall, out of 1,000 people, who do you think is going to be more? I mean, it's a basic Sam.
Oh, I think you really are painting people.
I am not painting anything
how
like
you,
this.
Yeah,
this
you
is,
are.
This is so kind of
somebody.
Peter, help
do.
Me out. Peter,
I'm
help
doing
me out.
It. I'm painting them that way. I'm painting them that way. That's me. Gary's nice. I'm not. I'm not.
I know
I'm
you
painting
are.
Them all that way.
You paint them all that way, and I was, you know, and that's fine. I don't. I think everybody, until I actually meet people, I'm not going to hang an albatross of racism, climate control, ignorance on anybody else's neck till I hear that person speak, till I hear what that person has to say. Then I'll make my decision.
When you listen to the leaders of the Republican Party speak, it's hard to avoid
hearing
that.
I'm not a Republican. You know, by the way, I'm a registered Democrat.
I know
okay?
you are. I didn't say you. I said when you listen to the leaders of the Republican Party speak.
Most of them are morons, okay? Yes. And with all due respect to morons, a lot of Democrats
hey, you
are
just
morons,
morons,
too.
Sam.
Leaders
what are you
of
doing?
Democrats. They speak who by K Street. You know what K Street is, right, guys?
I do. I used to work on the Hill.
I know you do. Gary, you know what K Street is?
I do know what K Street is.
Okay.
The street
Simon,
is named after
is?
A letter.
Gotten sold by whatever corporation wants to support them. Look at the tax breaks they give. And, you know, minimum wage. You brought up minimum wage, Gary. You're right. I think we should have more of a minimum wage, high minimum wage. That'd probably take a lot of less people off welfare. But the Democrats, on one hand, that they do want that, and they don't want it. I've seen enough speak about it because they're afraid they're going to lose a coalition. They're going to lose one of the little cogs in their machine. The Republicans love the corporate welfare, and the Democrats love welfare for the individual people. It's all so they can control. They're both wrong. Corporate welfare is wrong.
Sam, if I have a glass of wine with dinner and you have a jug of wine, we are both not drinkers. We are two different people. I agree that both parties have problems. Republicans have lost their minds. They're a danger to our country. And I don't understand why that's so hard to see. Why it's so hard to see what the Republicans have done.
Well,
let
me tell you, I think Republicans have done a lot of dangerous things. I was hoping that when Obama came in 2008, my greatest example is that he had the greatest opportunity since FDR to come in and make some really great changes. Number one thing would have been the housing bubble. What happened with the aftermath of that? Well, Gary, who was a bigger friend to Wall Street, the banks, and the real estate industry than George Bush? Barack Obama, because of Timothy Geithner. You can't argue that socks with me, okay? And that's a sad thing. The people that he punished, the banks, so they wouldn't go to jail, the people who illegally foreclosed on people, bundled these loans, did all these crazy things, put millions of people out of homes, evicted, and also no bankers went to jail, people lost their homes, people lost their credit, then came the big $50 bazillion bailout of fines. That is the Obama administration, administered by the Timothy Geithner, okay, another great Goldman Sachs guy. Where's all that money go to? It never went to the people who got hurt. It never went to the people who got damaged. The Obama administration set it up that it went to all the states to create a whole another cottage industry known as land banking and this and that nature. None of the money went to the people who were hurt. That's a pretty Republican thing to me. And he had a great golden opportunity to change the way Wall Street did business.
Yes, you're absolutely correct.
That is a
big glass of wine. That is not a jug of wine that the Republicans have done and want to do to our country right now. They don't care about things like climate change, which is a national, a global disaster. They don't care about science. I don't understand why you conflate the two ideas.
I'm not talking about my one issue, okay? I mean, you talked about
I'm fine, but I don't. I think the Republic. You brought up Benghazi. I think the Republicans are a danger to our planet.
Okay. As far as Benghazi goes, the new memo definitely shows that they knew that the video did not cause the killing, and we all knew that the day it happened.
They didn't. Okay? The video didn't say that at all.
No, that was the talking point set up.
No, the talking point didn't say that at all.
Simon, help me out here.
The talking point did not say that at all.
Simon.
I'm just enjoying the argument.
So the video was used by everyone in that administration to say that fired up a bunch of ragheads, okay? And they just said it was an arbitrarial mob rule, and that was it. And it was, they blamed
Shame
it on the
you,
video.
Sam, you're a bigot. You just said ragheads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And jockeys. I
have a personal gripe about Benghazi, and I possibly know more about it than I really should. CBS. Simon and Schuster. I mean, that they made a complete mess up of Dylan Davis's account. They destroyed 30,000 copies, hardback, by the way, you know, of the Embassy House, all because CBS, bless their little cotton socks, picked one page of the book to talk about, which turned out to be maybe slightly overinflated. Dylan Davis's account is actually very accurate, but let's hide Benghazi. We don't want to talk about it. If you read the stinking book, and I do have a copy of it, you know, you'll find that it's, you know, not about whether Dylan smacked a terrorist with a rifle butt. It's all about how Benghazi was set up, the secret annex, etc., etc. And no one wants to talk about that. You know, the Democrats obviously don't want to open their mouths because, uh-oh, it's going to hurt Hills. And
Simon,
the Republicans...
You remember Pat Tillman?
Yeah.
Everybody remember Pat Tillman?
Sure.
Pat Tillman was a great American hero and the poster boy from the great state of Arizona and a wonderful human being and a great guy. And in the height of the Gulf War, at the height of the Bush administration, he did his patriotic duty and he signed up to be one of the elite Army Rangers serving in the Gulf. And everybody knows what happened to Pat Tillman, right?
Killed by friendly fire and covered
killed.
Up by the Secretary of Defense.
He was killed by friendly fire. He was a massive poster boy for the military. He was the face of heroism. He was the face of a franchise. And we shot him in the back. We killed him. And that didn't emerge immediately. Nobody wanted to admit that they had killed Pat Tillman and shot him in the back, this great hero. But it slowly came out. It slowly came out. Nobody believes that anyone intentionally killed Pat Tillman. Nobody did that on purpose. That didn't happen on purpose. That's war. It's awful. It's ugly. It's unpredictable. It's sad. It's tragic. It's horrible. And sometimes, as awful as it is, you actually get shot by your own people. Now, to me, Benghazi is just another example of it. You know, I don't know exactly what happened in Benghazi, but I don't believe that we intentionally let Benghazi happen. I don't believe that we orchestrated some conspiracy so that we would see people die in Benghazi and then what? For what purpose? I don't believe that was intentional. I do believe that when things like that happen, obviously somebody didn't do something right. Somebody missed something. Somebody should have got something. And just like in Pat Tillman, nobody wants to admit, well, it was my mistake. I did it. I'm the guy who screwed up. It's my fault. And even the ones who do admit it, even the ones that come forward and say, it's my mistake, it's my fault, it's all on me, those are probably the guys that it's not all on them. They just feel guilty about what happened. These things don't happen in a vacuum. They happen because many things come together, many people come together, and it's tragic. It's sad. It's unfortunate. I just don't believe it was an intentional act.
Do you want the truth to come out, Peter? Do you believe in
that? I believe in it. I believe
that's all
it,
I want.
And I believe it will come out.
Yeah,
and
that's why the investigations have to continue and play out, because that's why we have three equal branches of government, to checks and balances. Look, in Watergate, if the Democratic Party, which is in control of the House and the Senate, wouldn't have kept the pressure on, we never would have found out about the taping system, which led to that whole falling down, of the, rightfully so, of the Nixon administration. And there were people back then screaming about that they were investigating too much and this and that. One of them, you know, but they did the right thing. That's when our government works, when it investigates whether, you know, that. Now, when it's a political witch hunt, then it's wrong. But to get to the truth, and
the hunting for the truth and the political witch hunt go on simultaneously and concurrently. There are some people.
Of course, now, yes, I have to agree.
There are some people
point.
Hunting
good
for
point.
The truth. There are some people hunting for the truth, and there are other people in the hunting party who only want to find a particular kind of truth. And quite frankly, that makes the truth-seeking process more difficult because it's constantly being affected by people who want to cast it in a
That's very
still,
right.
But we still want to try to see it, at least try to get out and all that. That's all I
and
want.
We will. And we will.
The truth
that,
is,
and,
the
listen,
truth is, it's basically
that Obama
a PR.
Hillary Clinton conspired to have Benghazi. I think there might be, it appears to be, some sort of cover-up and why it happened and whatnot. And if the truth comes out...
The only cover-up that's going to happen here, if there's a cover-up, look, we probably what happened, we know what happened, that this guy made a decision to have a satellite office for the embassy that didn't have security, and he had trust in the militia that it would be covered. Fine. So what happens is things went sideways as... In war, things happen. That's what Peter said. Things happen in war. The only thing, the worst thing that might have happened, the very worst thing is we really don't know what happened here, but don't lead with terrorism because it might look bad on the president. That's it. If there's any kind of horrid thing right now, it wasn't like Obama screwed up. It wasn't like Clinton screwed up. The one thing that everyone's sitting here clamoring about is, hey, listen, when you go on the talk show, lead with this instead of this. And in my mind, of all the problems that we have and all the things that are going on, that doesn't really bother me. It didn't say a lie. It said, stress this because we want to stress this. And if that was a political calculation, I could totally understand that and say, was that the best thing? Is that what we want? Don't we want 1,000% transparency from our government? I guess, for sure. But
that's the worst thing we're looking at right now.
What's that?
I'm not sure I want that transparency. I don't think I want to see what the cooks are doing in the restaurant kitchen.
Very good.
Sure.
Fine. There you go. So the point is, what's the worst thing that everyone's holding hearings on when our government's falling off a cliff and the Republicans in Congress are sitting here and we want to put all of our attention, all of our staffing hours, all of the people who work for us, we want to sit here and talk about this. When the climate's heating up, when China's going to take over the number one economy, when we can't get anything done, when the wealth gap is getting huger and huger and huger, and the Republicans who are in power are saying, let's use the bulk of our energy to figure out this kind of crap of whether the public relations message was accented over here or here. There's no smoking gun. No one was lying. No one did. No one broke in anywhere. These guys invaded the embassy, they killed these poor people, and how it was talked about was phrased a little bit higher this way than this way. I just don't get it. Really.
Well, you hit the nail right on the head, Gary. As long as we're mired in these kinds of mini debates, there's no hope of ever getting to the big issues.
Maybe right. That's part of the plan of both parties, guys. Red herrings.
Okay. Bill, I'm sure you have something to say.
Well, I've been listening to everyone back and forth here, and I seem to tend to be more towards Sam's side than anything. I think that this isn't all just about racism. I think it's truly about elitists. I think it's the elitists in the Republican Party. I think it's the elitists in the Democratic Party. I think it's even Mr. Sterling, I think he was an elitist. He had so much money and he had so much power and so much control. He didn't care what he said. He was just a bullying. A lot of his news reports was like, you know what, these poor children, they couldn't have anything unless I gave them those free tickets so they can come to the game. I have enriched their life because I am just such an incredible person, and I've changed their life. Otherwise, they would just be in the muck and the mire, and they got no hope in their life except for me to step in there. And so if I snap my finger and say, give them something, they have something. If I snap my finger and choose not to give them anything, they're just going to hurt, and they're just going to be miserable SOBs. And that's just the problem with the whole race. And that's the way he spoke. So, you know, I keep watching this with the Republicans and the Democrats, and it's whoever has the most power just kind of calls the shots. And we sometimes label it as racism, but truly, the reason there's a big difference between the haves and the have-nots is because the elitists, not because whether they're one party or another. That's just where I see this whole thing going. And again, I think there are red herrings out there to keep our focus off of what's really happening in the Ukraine and other places. And this is a good, you know, this is all planned, I think. I think they've planned to do this. That's where I'm coming from.
Now, this reminds me of a great book by Frederick Forsyth, The Odessa File.
Oh, great book.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Odessa. It's in the south and west part of Ukraine. What the hell is going on? I thought the Ruskies were only interested in the east and Crimea. Sam, you want to chime in?
Yeah, sure. You know, I think, Bill, I want to thank you for your support and whatnot, and you can see through it. I tend to stop seeing things in the last couple of years as Democrat and Republican, and do see it as the elitist against everybody else. And there's a lot of Democratic elitists, a lot of Republican elitists, a lot of independent elitists, too. And they all have one thing in common. They have a lot of dough, and they keep getting richer and at the expense of everybody else, and they've got a lot of people at each other's throats. Anyway,
Can I throw something else in here, Sam, before you continue on? I think the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats is that the Republicans just whatever they think, they're kind of diarrhea of the mouth. And I think the Democrats are a little more subtle in how they approach the way they distribute their money. That's
very
it. I'm done.
Very subtle. We're very
well, we could all get into that. So the whole tax thing is the tax breaks are all a redistribution of wealth by both parties to favor the elitist. All right, that stuff aside,
okay.
The Ukraine is, and the Odessa is incredible. Simon, that's a great thing. It's, you know, and we all talked about a couple of weeks ago, I don't think Peter and Gary were here, about the anti-Semitic flyers that came out, where we weren't surprised because the Ukrainians nationalists way back in World War II were some of the biggest pro-Nazi guys around. So that whole country is such a it's an extreme of everything, religious extreme of military extremists, nationalist, racist, whatever you want to call it, they are. It's an easy country to overthrow. And as we're seeing right now, what they're doing. And the ground is fertile. Just, it reminds me a lot of the Weimar Republic in the 30s. There's a widespread disenchantment with the government. The economy's terrible. And they all want to, half the people want to go to the West, and the other half want to be under the Russians. And that's why they're fighting. They're having the mini skirmishes. Because what's going to happen is Vlad Putin wants to definitely extend the old Soviet Union borders and continue to step on people's toes and continue to do all that because he can. who's going to stand up to him, and I don't want us to stand up to him by any stretch of the imagination. And his oligarchy is going to get what they want, which is they want the Ukraine. They want the Ukraine to pay the bills to them that they're owed billions of dollars. They want the pipeline that they can now, my wife's family's from Holland. They live in Holland. They're all in fear up there that Putin's going to take over the Ukraine totally. He has his excuses now to protect Russian people as, from the bad Ukrainians, and the price of natural gas and oil is going to skyrocket, pretty soon a new Iron Curtain's coming. And those are for my relatives in Holland, who my wife had Skyped today. And they're petrified. They're not talking about Donald Sterling in Holland today. They're talking about when the hell is Putin going to take over? When are the Russian tanks coming in? And we should all be worried about that. And that's what's going to happen. I think it's going to happen, and I don't know how you're going to stop it. How do you stop it, guys? You tell me.
Gary, I know you've said a couple of times, who gives a damn about Ukraine? Aren't you getting just a little, worried?
I really... It's funny, Simon. I'm just not. I'm just not that interested. I was thinking about it. Like, why? It's like, if you really want to do it, like after what our country's been through with the fiascos and the trillions of dollars and all the boys, that and women who are killed, if Russia wants to take that on and have some kind of war and have people shoot at them from behind trees and lay bombs on the road. And if they want to go through that meat grinder, let them do it. I just don't know enough. I'm not close to where Sam is on this. I just don't. I mean, I don't have his breadth of knowledge. I don't know. It doesn't. I don't care. If it starts to spread, and yes, like I said, I believe in gradient. I believe in degree. I think that then we have to get something if something was a part of NATO, some part of the alliance, of course, we'd have to step in. But other than that, if they really want to go through that and spend that kind of money and, have at it, he could be George W. Bush. Go ahead.
How about you, Peter?
Well, I care about it, but, it's not like, it just doesn't feel like there's anything that we can do about it. And it's hard to get overly concerned about something that you feel like you have absolutely no control over. And, I don't know what the ramifications of any of this will be. If Russia takes control of the Ukraine, I don't know what that means in the big picture. What does that mean?
War.
What?
Proxy war. It'll be
proxy war.
If it becomes a civil war, it'll be a proxy war. We'll support the Kiev government. The Russians will do that. If the Russians just roll in, which is, I think, is what's going to happen, I'd be pretty terrified if I was Poland. Again, though, guys, I don't know how to stop it. Because what happens then with Poland, they are part of NATO. They are part of the European Union, which we have treaties and all that stuff with. We don't have much of the Ukraine right now. I think we cut off a couple of credit cards and did some things like that. But it's scary to think that if the Russians take over the whole Ukraine, which it sure looks like it's being set up to be that way. Just remember, in 2008, he went into Georgia. Same sort of thing was set up. Separatist country that used to be part of the Russian Federation was breakaway. Putin went in there. The Russians went in there. They took it back. It was a war. Bush and company couldn't do anything, just like Obama and company can't do anything right now if they go in there, rightfully so. And the Russians took over Georgia, and they're going to take over Ukraine. And it's all for their oligarchy and their oil prices and their natural gas prices. And they're going to be able to turn that spigot off to Western Europe. And that's where it's going to get dangerous. Because, Gary, then it kicks in the thing, well, does that mean now we have to do the Keystone Pipeline? I'm not saying we should or we shouldn't. But who's going to supply Western Europe with cheap natural gas if the Russians have amped up the prices because the Russian natural gas companies that Putin sits on the board of and this and that, and this goes to your thing, Bill, about the elitists, they want their money. It's my understanding that the Ukraine's government owes the Russians $40 billion in unpaid energy costs. Who's going to supply the natural gas? Who's going to do all this sort of stuff? Well, we're going to take it out of America and ship it over there, and our prices go up? I mean, it has a lot of huge domino effect if it's not handled right. And the question is, how do you handle it? I mean, that's a $64 billion question in my book. I hope the powers that be in our country handle it as delicately as they can, and no one gets hurt.
Well, as long as they're Democrats, it'll get done right.
Well, I think he's learned his lesson. I think one of the best things that I'll give the president major credits for is that he did want to do something in Syria. He was talked out of it by other Democrats, some Republicans, Rand Paul being one of them. They tried to stop him from doing that. And I think he took a step back and realized this country didn't want to go to war. And he isn't a war president. Good for him. And I think that's why he's treading, he's walking softly and not carrying a big stick. He's going to see how it plays out and go from there. They're trying to sanction things. That seemed to be a big, the new thing and how to punish the bad guys, cut off their money. Does it work? It seems to be working in Iran. Is it working with Russia? I don't know. If he clipped a couple of Generalissimo's credit cards, will they just go get another credit card? I don't know. But the sanctions work probably if they're really, really applied. And these guys who they're going after can't do end-arounds on, yeah, then they probably do work, and they probably are a good idea. I mean, can we cut off the Russian food supply? I don't know. It's expensive.
You know, the huge problem is Gazprom. If Russia decides to, cut off the supply of natural gas, all bets are off. And that could happen. You know, Vlad the Putin seems relatively out of whack at the moment. That's just the sort of thing I could see happening. Now, luckily, it's we're coming up on summer, but imagine what would happen if he does this in October or November. I mean, absolute disaster.
Yeah, they're waiting on it again. It's all about money. That's what it all comes down to. The elitist of Russia wants their money. They sell armaments. Someone's buying these weapons. No one's giving both sides free ammo and free guns and free gasoline and all that. Somebody's making profiting off this, as they always do. The question is, who and what? You know, I mean, I know there's calls, McCain and Lindsey Graham, the two warmongers from the right, want us, to bomb them back to the Stone Age. At what expense? I mean, I do believe that our military is much more superior than any other country's military. But who wants to be in another war? I mean, if we're not war-weary now, we never will be. And I just hope that on one hand, let them have the one side of me says, as Gary says, who the hell cares? If he wants them, and then he has to put up with all another Afghanistan type thing for them, and some of the separatists are going to shoot at him from behind trees, and he's got to put his banana republic government in. That's their problem. Let them deal with it. And on the other hand. What if he then says, this is slim pickings, Poland's next? Then, whose ox is going to get gored next? And that's where it gets a guy like Putin, that's what you have to be scared about.
Okay, and here's the big question. Let's look into the future and say that Putin does take most of Ukraine. Because, that seems to be what his idea is. What's next, and at what point do we stop cutting off the credit cards of his friends, and actually do something?
Let the other guys talk. Let the other guys go.
Oh,
okay.
Sam.
Okay.
New world. We're living in it.
I'll chime in here. Well, first of all, one of the big reasons that gas has increased in price, did you know that there's a 35% increase in the amount of oil exported out of the United States? Did you know that in the last 2 weeks? Did you know that?
No.
No one can tell us where that oil's going, but it's being exported. The best guess, because it all seems to be a big secret, is that it's going over to Europe because Russia is throttling the amount of gasoline that goes to the EU because they're cutting back on the amount of food they're sending over to Russia. So that's one of the thoughts that's going on there. Secondly, one thing that bothers me is the whole political makeup of the Ukraine, which what's it called? Swoboda? Is that the right word?
Mm-hmm.
So those people seem to be neo-Nazis, and the question becomes, is it's almost like a third party, you know, it's the Republicans, the Democrats, and the neo-Nazis there in Ukraine, with still the elitists in charge. But who do you go with if they're neo-Nazis, where they say things like a highlight in history, a great light in history was when they were killing off the Jews in Germany, and they talk like this very open. So, but they're also against some of the things that we might see about raising taxes and other things that would be kind of like the Democrats. So if Russia comes in and takes over a place like this, you know, it's only the elitists that are in control. It has nothing to do with whether part of their policy is good and part of the policy is bad from these three different political parties that are in the Ukraine. So, see, you put all that together, and we're going to see gas up to $5, $7, $8 a gallon because we've decided to support the EU, and we're going to allow and sit back while the Ukraine is taken over by Russia. That's the problem.
Okay. Now, you've said something amazingly interesting. You know, you are correct that we're now almost, and I stress the word almost, energy independent, but now we're selling it elsewhere, which obviously is going to lessen the supply at home. Peter, is this good? A good plan?
I think the sooner we get off the dependence of oil, the better.
Maybe tomorrow.
I have no idea whether it's a good plan or a bad plan because it is dealing with issues that are just so far above and beyond me. I can't even begin to comment on them. I have no idea where all the world's oil comes from, where it goes to, who's importing it and exporting it. I just wish to God we could get off our dependence on oil.
Yeah, you and me both. I think we should all have windmills in our backyard.
But you know, some of the points that have been made here today apply to the same issue. We're never going to get off the dependence of oil as long as there are industries that make, you know, trillions of dollars supplying it. They will do everything in their power to ensure that we're dependent on oil. And you know, it's up to all of us to try to do that.
That is right. And this is where big government should come into play. This is where you need big government,
right?
Because private industry won't do the same thing. Instead of spending $3 trillion in Iraq, what if W said we are going to do a moonshot to get 100 mile a gallon cars by 2015 or 16. What if he said that every new construction in the country has to be solar powered or carbon neutral by 2025? What if we spent $3 trillion of our treasure instead of invading this stupid country if we put it there? And you're right. Of course, money and money and interest and so forth. But this is where you need, I just don't see this, by the way, happening from a Republican. Democrats are very guilty in this area as well. You need big government. You need someone to say, and I'm wondering, maybe you guys, maybe Sam, maybe Peter, maybe Bill can answer this. Can a president say, this is a clear and present danger to our planet and to our country, that I have to make an executive decision that we are going to use the treasure of our country to make these kinds of laws as a matter of national security? I wonder if a president has that kind of power to do that.
Well, let's put it this way. Can he say that? Absolutely. What will Congress do and or the Supreme Court do in response? Well, that's a whole different other story.
Wait a minute. You want the same big government that was bought by the Seven Sisters, overthrew the Shah of Iran, overthrew a prime minister in Iran, and gave us the Shah.
Gary,
people for 40
Sam,
years. Four big government. I mean,
all Gary's saying is that the only way to win this battle is if big government starts doing the right thing.
Big government's owned by big business, guys.
We're acknowledging that, Sam. We're acknowledging that, unfortunately, the government doesn't work that way for all the reasons you've talked about. This is the point of conversation where we're agreeing with you. You're supposed to be saying, I agree, guys.
It's a revolution.
Sam, we are in agreement here. I am only saying, I'm wondering if an enlightened president, if that person would say, I wonder, and maybe this is an interesting legal question, a constitutional question, can say, as a matter of clear and present danger, because a president is tasked to...
I think he could say
it's to protect the government, the country from danger. And what if he says this is a clear and present danger?
I think he could. I think he's stretching the language. And if he was popular enough, Congress would not seek to impeach him, I think that's what would happen. But I think in the current state of the world, a president couldn't get away with that.
Unless he declares martial law.
I don't think so. Well, you'd have to declare martial law in the face of some sort of emergency.
No, it would not be martial law.
We had the country almost stop because a health care system was passed by Congress and approved by the Supreme Court.
Yeah, of course you're right.
If you tried to do something like this, they would grind government to a halt until they got it to stop. Because
could you
of
imagine,
all reasons
though,
you talked
if,
about,
if,
Gary,
if a
the fear.
But could you imagine, like, if a president said, all new construction has to be carbon neutral by 2025 as a matter of national security? Now, that seems relatively reasonable. Moonshot situation
only,
10
only
years from now.
Only the manufacturer.
Whatever, Sam. You know, if you want to sit there and all great things don't come with failures, you could think that. I'm saying, as a matter of national policy, if someone could say that,
but you know what, Gary, I agree with what you're saying. It'd be great if you know, and every day was Christmas and every day was a holiday.
What's
going to happen if a minute a president said that, whoever that president is, what party, I don't care. You use the word enlightened. The minute someone's enlightened running for office, they're probably a target for assassination by somebody. But anyway, the minute someone said that, that deal's already been cut. In today's world, the way we operate, if we're going to put all solar panels on every new construction, somebody's already got the solar panel contract, and that's what I get scared about.
Sam, you're exactly right. What Gary's talking about is an enlightened view of the world, and an enlightened view that needs to happen, or we're all going to die.
Oh, I agree.
That's right.
Peter, Gary, I
that's right.
And it's just a question.
Just
a question of when we get to this level of enlightenment. And I fear, for all the reasons you're talking about, Sam, And I completely agree with you. I fear that it will only come on the brink of catastrophe, and it might be too late at that point.
That's right.
For
it may be
all
some
the
kind of
reasons
dystopic
you're
thing,
talking
right?
about, for all the reasons you're talking about.
I agree with you guys.
Yeah.
Well, this is a big problem, and I
hope
we
solve it
today.
The only thing that's going to save this country from these corporate, the revolution, and I don't know who's going to file the first shot.
Oh, we are on Blog Talk Radio. Are you kidding me?
Look,
yeah, but you know, right.
we
you know
we,
I mean,
we can
yeah.
even use the F word here.
Foolhardy?
No. Yep, there are no FCC rules.
Well, we're talking about we're talking about the right issues, and that's the first step. And it's going to take a grassroots revolution, and it's only going to happen from the ground up. And you know, beyond saying that, it's a very unclear world after that.
Okay, I'm looking at the clock, and I'm getting squawked at. So. Need to wrap this program up. So I'm going to go once around the table and everyone can have their rant. Bill, I'll start with you.
I think to, again, I feel like I'm just jumping on the Sam bandwagon here, but if we really want big... if we really want big government to do something, we probably need a new party. We need for them to become strong. We need for them to look at people's concern, need to look at this from a global economy, and we need to help us get out of this situation where bullies are taking advantage of our poor, as well as bullies taking advantage of their neighbors because they want to take over. You know, how do we do that, and how do we get in there? I don't know, but we really need that. If big government is the answer, then we need a new party to come in there and make all these great changes.
And I'm going to go to Gary. Gary, you're never at a loss for words.
I will just reiterate that a party to attack global warming will never come from a Republican Party of today. It may come from a Democratic Party, as Obama has been trying to do whatever he can for that. So I think that. I don't think Bill's wrong by any means. I think we might have to have a revolution of some kind. But I think that in a lot of ways we're in real danger, and I think that it's all starting, the cure is starting with Blog Talk Radio and with your show, Simon.
I love it. Checks in the mail. and next up, the infamous Sam Moffey.
I had a great time today. Thanks for getting a rise out of me. I hope I get a rise out of all you guys. It's a lot of fun. Sometimes I say tongue-in-cheek, guys. But sometimes I'm very serious about it, and I know all of you are too. It's a beginning, not an end. And I just want to say, because it is the anniversary of Kent State, what's happening now is tin soldiers and corporations coming. We're finally on our own. That's why I'm glad to be part of Blog Talk Radio.
Right. And last but by no means least, my version of Perry Mason, Legal Eagle Peter Haven.
I get a kick out of that. I see myself in a wheelchair. I think that the revolution will not be televised. It will be broadcast live on Blog Talk Radio. And so it has begun. Let's keep it going.
Gentlemen, this has been a great afternoon. Have a happy and safe and healthy week. And we'll be back again next week. Until then, this is Simon Barrett saying goodbye.